The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
5, 6, 7, 8.
I hope to God you're wrong. That's probably the longest one we've ever done before.
I know. I had no idea how that was going
to
work out.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it so much. All right. Let's talk about Christopher some more. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Consider with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara. That was shocking.
It's been a minute. I know. Yeah. Halfway through me just starting my sentence, I was like, oh, this is not a Gilmore to say. It's a Gilmore to Consider. Didn't miss a beat.
It is. Because we have so much to consider, but also feels like I have not talked to you in so long.
I know. It feels like I haven't talked to you in a million years. We've been taking this time, which is kind of our slower time in the year, to go ooh, if you will, out of office.
Woo, women out of office, if you will.
Because we just, you know, need a little time. And I think that building in breaks for ourselves is really important. You stressed the importance of that. I know you said you were talking about that with your therapist. Oh, thank God for Raquel. Building in breaks is so important in any component of your life. But we spent the last 2 years working on this podcast day in, day out. And even us going out of office, we're still like texting every day. But we haven't like sat down and talked to each other.
We haven't recorded. FaceTime to FaceTime really and recorded
in the last like week or so.
Yeah. But it is, I think we mentioned this on Patreon, but our lovely Lauren, who is our editor, she's in Italy. So we spent like all of February like hustling to get all of them done so that she could edit them before she left, which she was a darling to do. Mm-hmm. But she's gone for a little bit. So we were like, let's just take a break because we have all of our episodes done for this month. It's been weird.
It's been weird.
I'm like really excited to get back on and chat today because like there's just something about it.
I know. Well, in general, but also this subject matter was not so divisive. I don't think a lot of people had like super stark contrasting opinions about this, but
to
like
ours.
It was buzzy. People were really excited to chat all things Christopher and to argue with other people in the comments about how they're not soulmates.
That's so interesting to me because I feel like the thing is like I don't think there's another character like other than like April Nardini who receives so much hatred as Chris. I feel like Chris's is a lot more like valid because like April's a child and it's really her plot line that is really the problem for a lot of people, but I know a lot of people like Chris. I don't mind Chris despite how much I espoused in the last two episodes that I did. I really like his character. Very villainous, that man. All I can come to mind is him in Wedding Bell Blues, that like one still of him just looking like a villain.
Oh my God, he looks like such a villain. Big villain energy. I think I maybe used that image for one of our cover images on YouTube. Can't remember.
Did you?
It was 2 days ago. I have no idea.
I love that because it just like it feels like that's the Chris vibe. But like I know a lot of people like him, but like he also like has a lot of like hate for people who like him. Like me, and I noticed that in the comments of like either they're like they're not soulmates but I don't mind him, or like they're not soulmates and I hate him, and it just feels like we all kind of have like very similar opinions. There are outliers, of course, always. It feels like everyone is like kind of understanding of him while at the same time being like, yeah, I hate him.
Interesting. I mean, I will argue that I think Dean receives a lot of hate. Poster
Dean?
Child for
who's that?
Dean
Forser.
Do you need me to remind you? I think that he gets a lot of at least newfound hate in the fandom as well. But yeah, Christopher is he's not as divisive as Dean is. Whereas I think that like April Nardini and Christopher Hayden are two characters in the fandom that people are like, don't really like them. Just because of the drama that they stir up, right? You know?
Yeah, they are spoons, those two.
They are professionals. They are kitchen aides. They are professional stirrers. You know what I mean? So
Chris is a KitchenAid. He has so many mix-in attachments to stir the drama.
He has so he many attachments. And yet, he is so unattached.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Anyway, we did a call for Gilmore to consider voicemails because we had a lot to say in those two episodes. We had to split it into a two-parter, and we still have even more questions that you guys posed in our Instagram question box about what ifs and fan fiction and other things. But I really, really liked that we had so much to discuss about this relationship because it's such a pivotal relationship in the series. But one of the things that we posted on our Instagram was, were Christopher and Lorelai soulmates? And the resounding answer was no, but we had one of our listeners call in to explain why they felt like it was a no. So let me play this first voicemail for you.
No, I don't think they were soulmates. I don't think soulmates, there's a quote that says soulmates aren't found, they're made. And I don't think Lorelai and Christopher were willing to put in the work to make themselves soulmates for each other. I don't think Lorelai loved him enough. And I don't think, as much as he wants to believe it, I don't think Christopher loved Lorelai enough to make it work either. And so, no, I don't think they were soulmates. I hope that makes sense. Thanks.
First of all, I love the fact that there was no introduction.
That's what I was about to say.
This is so-and-so. It was just like, no.
No. That is like the energy I want. Like, it's just like clean. No.
Let's just get to the point. Also, I hope your child is okay.
They were just like reiterating the feeling.
Yeah. They really just wanted to shout it out.
Yeah. Because like, I totally agree. And I love that. I hadn't heard that quote, and some people posted it on our Instagram post about
it. Did?
Like, yeah, they talked about how soulmates aren't found, they're made. And I really like that idea. I will say, like, half of a no sparkly heart to the idea that they didn't love each other enough, because
I'm sorry, I'm just picturing like a no with half a heart next to it, like
just like erase the other part, because like it's like maybe half of a no with a with a full sparkly heart.
Okay, it's just the end.
It's just the end. And
maybe
sparkly
it's just
heart.
The O. Oh, yeah, sparkly heart.
Either one, because I don't think it's a matter of like they didn't love each other enough, because I think that most of the time love isn't the problem. It's like the commitment to it, it's the trust, it's, I mean, I know there can't be love without trust, but there's an affection between them that I think can be described as love, and there's like not a willingness to put in the work.
Yeah.
And I think it's true on both ends. I think that Lorelai only wants perfect circumstances, and so does Chris, and so I do agree. Neither of them are willing to put in the work. And I think that people who are soulmates would not give up on each other like that. Mm. Especially Chris, constantly giving up.
Do you think that soulmates always end up together, though?
No, I don't know.
I know we talked about this briefly. I think it was two episodes ago. I can't remember because we recorded both parts of the Chris episode at the same time. So, yeah. And we recorded them weeks ago. So at this point, I'm like, well, I have no idea what I said. But I agree to a certain extent that soulmates are not found, they are made. However, I do feel like they are sometimes found. You find someone who gets you. I think that that kind of creeps into the twin flame conversation that we had as well. Mm. Like, at what point was the line between a soulmate and a twin flame? Where you find someone who just fucking gets you. And there's something so magical and magnetic about that. And then also on the other hand, you have to put in the work to make it work, because that's life.
You're right. There's some people out there who just like get you. You meet them. It feels like a little magical connection. Mm-hmm. But if you don't nurture it and take care of it, it's going to be volatile.
Correct.
Usually. Or it's just going to peter out because like you weren't willing to make it work no matter how much you guys wanted to be together. Jess and Rory.
Oops. Yeah. No, correct.
But no, I mean, I love them together, but like, I do think they're a little bit twin flames. I don't think they would have made it work. At least young them. I'll say caveat young them.
Jess and Rory, you're talking about Chris and Lorelai. Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree.
I don't know why I switched the conversation all of a sudden.
That's okay. Listen, you want to give me an excuse to talk about Jess and Rory? Let's do it. But I think that with Chris and Lorelai, it is also tough, and this kind of does go hand in hand with Jess and Rory. Like, it's very tough when you have young love, and I think we also talked about this in the last couple episodes, that, like, they were such young love.
Yeah.
High school sweethearts, And I don't think that ever fully goes away, you know, and I think that's what kept them tethered to each other. But I do agree with our caller here. I don't necessarily think that they were soulmates. I think that twin flames is more of an accurate description for them because, you know, it's interesting. This actually is a great segue into one of our other voicemails that offers a perspective on why Christopher was her quote unquote, like, first love.
Mm.
So let's hear from Mary.
Hey, it's Mary. So this is in response to the Christopher episode. And one thing that I noticed about Christopher in the show is that despite the fact that he's sort of presented as Lorelai's, you know, her great teen love, unless Christopher is present or was already somehow brought up as the topic of conversation, Lorelai's high school anecdotes feature quite a few boyfriends, never Christopher. There's Todd and Navita Cutler when Rory has her Dean breakup. There's the guy whose car she threw up in, and she told John Hamm about it. And A Year in the Life, there's the Britisher coming guy. There's the guy who dumped her in her story about Richard that she calls and tells Emily. And none of those are Christopher. So my question is, was Christopher real, you know, if it hadn't been for the pregnancy, would Christopher be the real boyfriend of Lorelai's high school teenage years that she always thinks back on and remembers? Or is he just the one who ended up getting her pregnant? Okay, love you, bye. I will say I did record this voicemail in my Team Luke sweatshirt. Thank you for that, by the way.
Thank you for that, by the way, Mary. I love that. I love that she was wearing her Team Luke sweatshirt as she called in about Christopher.
That's a real one, Mary. Yeah, I like, truly. This is exactly why I love people calling in.
Me too.
Because Mary feels like the exact type of person that we need to talk to, because she just named all of these instances of Lorelai talking about her boyfriends off the top of her head. And like, chef's kiss, like, truly. Perfect, Mary. Like, I also had never thought about that, because we me talk either. About that all the time on Patreon, is like all of the, these like little stories we tell. Mm-hmm. We had never made like the connection to the fact that they're not about Christopher.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
I also like that we as a fandom have collectively decided to dismiss Peyton's name and just call him John Hamm.
It's true. It's true.
But wow, that is so true that she never brings up any like Christopher anecdotes unless it's like in direct conversation. Because I remember when she's talking to Max in Love and War and Snow, when mm-hmm. they're like walking down the street, there's like a little bit of like a mention of Chris, but it's really only in the context, I feel like, of her being pregnant.
Yeah.
I think he gets brought up. I can't remember.
He does, because Max asks if she's ever been proposed to or engaged or something like that, or ever been married. And she said, you know, I almost married Rory's dad. And he was like, you know, what happened? She said, the bell rang. I was late for chem lab. You know, like she talks about him in that capacity. So, and then, of course, we get the flashback. We get the mention of the pizza in the coat pocket. And obviously, Christopher has that conversation with Rory about, like, you know, their first kiss and wanting to kiss a Gilmore Girl, or Lorelai kissing him, rather. And so. Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to kiss a Gilmore Girl? Nobody said.
I think he says, who wouldn't want to be kissed by a Gilmore Girl?
Yeah, that's it. There we go.
So, you know, they kind of make it seem, or they paint the picture sometimes. And I think that this specifically happens with Emily and Richard. And when it comes to Jason and them talking about being at camp and, oh, I knew your father. I went to camp with your father. Or maybe they went to school together. Who's to say? Like, that they've known each other and grew up as kind of like middle school, high school sweethearts, you know?
Yeah.
Which, it's not that that can't be the case and they couldn't have maybe, you know, been pretty consistently together but had pockets of time where maybe they weren't and she was dating other people. Like, that's high school.
I can't tell, because that is kind of the idea that Emily and Richard kind of paint for us.
Yeah, that's the
image. But I wonder if it's like the kind of thing where they like grew up in the same social circle. They were like kind of like in it together. They were pals. And maybe this is like totally the romance novel obsessed person in me, where it's like, maybe she was dating other people. Maybe he was really into her. And finally she gave him the time of day and they like sparks flew and they were perfect for each other, or so it felt. So maybe it was like along the journey, Christopher was maybe always her friend getting into trouble with her until it turned romantic.
Maybe.
Could be,
who knows. But yeah, just something I never thought about before.
Do you think that she didn't have this great love with him and he really was just like the last boyfriend before he got her pregnant? She had a baby and that was kind of like the really big, you know, like memory from high school, that like everlasting bond through Little Miss Rory Gilmore.
Man, I don't know. And this is why I would love a prequel, you know, yeah. Because they do tell a lot of stories, you know, when Christopher first shows up and Christopher returns, you know, and she says something
aptly
about like,
named.
Yes. And she says something about like, you know, you were the guy who crashed his dad's car and blah, blah, blah. And he said, and you were the girl in the Pinky Tuscadero t-shirt, like sitting right next to me in the passenger seat. So they tell stories like this. And then when they're in the Volvo together, when he does show up again, and like they have those kinds of conversations where they're looking back fondly on their time together, I find it hard to believe that this was like a flippant relationship.
Yeah.
But I don't know that this was necessarily the be-all, end-all relationship, because a lot of people in the fandom argue, and I do stand behind this, that had Lorelai not gotten pregnant, that I don't know that they would have ended up together down the line. Would he have carried so much weight if he was not Rory's father? You know, maybe it would have been a high school sweetheart situation, but there was a guy that I dated in high school that was very important to me then. And now at this point in my life, we are strangers. Doesn't mean he wasn't important to me then, but he was never going to be my husband.
Yeah. What if you guys had a child together?
Exactly. He would have a very different meaning to me.
Yeah. And I do wonder, because like I think that once you get maybe a little bit further along in high school, you are maybe more inclined to stay with someone a little longer. But I do think like in like end of middle school, early high school, there is that tendency of like to date someone for a week. So, like, I wonder if any of those are, like, I dated this person for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you
know?
Could have totally been that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the fickle nature of being a teenager.
Well, also because they kind of paint it as if Lorelai hasn't really dated much in the time that she's had Rory, that she's been raising Rory. She doesn't really date. She says that to Max, like, I never bring guys home. You know, so it sounds like she really steered away from allowing herself the space to find romance in the time between having Rory, which was high school, and when we meet her in season one at the age of 32. So, of course, maybe you put more weight and more of an emphasis on those relationships that you had in high school, because that was the last time you were dating.
Yeah, those were like your last experiences. That's what I was about to say. And like, speaking of that, not to make this about Lorelai.
No, let's make it about Lorelai.
We love to. But it's interesting that she would be able to have a healthy relationship, because like, going from, you know, like her teenage relationships, going from Christopher and kind of not really dating that much until Max, because I'm sure she, you know, here and there went on dates or whatever, but like she said she never dates, so maybe not, but because she was so focused on work and Rory. But to go into that and be able to have like a healthy mindset about it, I feel like it's really impressive. Maybe it's the example of her parents, because her parents have a really strong relationship, but
maybe
I don't know.
It's a tad unrealistic to imagine that Lorelai went 16 years without really going on a date or dating anybody. But they do talk about it. Don't they have a conversation about like the peg leg guy or this guy? You know what I mean? Like
I think so. Yeah, like because I think that she's really exaggerating that she's never been on a date in that time.
Yeah, I think she probably has, but she never wanted to take it to a serious level because of the nature of her relationship with her daughter and being very apprehensive to bring somebody else into that equation, I think is understandable. But yeah, it's funny that they kind of keep this theme going. You know, Brett and I actually are moving through season four. Can I tell you, the other day he was having kind of like an emotionally low day, not for any particular reason, just feeling a little like,
yeah,
we were gonna watch The Traitors because we've been watching that show, really love it, and we have a couple episodes left, and I thought we were gonna watch The Traitors, and he said, can we watch Gilmore Girls? And I said Yes.
Yes, we
Say
can.
Less, man. So we watched three episodes. We watched The Fundamental Things Apply through the Festival of Living Art. So
what a good cozy series.
He loved the Festival of Living Art. And he's loving this season. He's like, I really like this season. The dynamic. Oh, we are such season four girlies on the show. Who would have thought?
We love ranked it so low.
I know.
Though revisiting that ranking, I'm like, was she high? Who did this? Who ranked the show?
I know, but also
was
like,
it me?
Who
couldn't be?
But also, who? Those girls were so different than these girls right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so funny to think about. I don't even remember what I said two episodes ago, let alone like, you know.
I know, and that is the one thing I wish we could like go back at like the beginning of this show, like our show, and be like, hey, these opinions might be crazy, but just stick around and they will change dramatically.
Yeah, totally. And I think people do. I think people love hearing the evolution of our thoughts.
Yeah.
Or I hope they do. I hope that's why they're here. But anyway, the reason that I brought that up before was because there's whether it's in The Fundamental Things Apply or An Affair to Remember or Festival of Living. Oh, it's The Fundamental Things Apply because they're talking about dating. And Lorelai is saying to Rory, you've never dated.
Yes.
She's like, I dated Dean, relationship. I dated Jess, relationship. And then Rory goes, well, you've never dated. And I was like, hold on. Speaking of John Hamm, okay?
Yeah.
Runaway little boy, Paul. That
the
guy.
The little boy.
Yeah, the little boy. Of course, she's about to like start dating Jason. But like, you know, we have
seen
Lorelai.
She kind of dates Alex a little bit.
She dates Alex, exactly. So it's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, she has.
Yeah.
But I don't know that before us meeting her, she really, quote unquote, dated. But we do get to see a glimpse of it in seasons two and three, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. But Rory has not. Only Urine Mints.
Only Urine Mints, exactly. So I think that the idea of casually dating on this show is something that's not really explored until this moment in The Fundamental Things Apply. And then, honestly, I don't feel like it's ever really explored again. Or it's like casual dater in Runaway Little Boy with her dating Paul. Yeah. Stuff like that. And the horrible date in 8 o'clock at the Oasis with John Hamm. But I do think that these are relationship girlies. And so subsequently, they put so much emphasis on Christopher in like the reflection of Christopher in her past life that we never saw. But we, again, it just is a testament to the fact that like, I feel like these characters sat frozen in time for 16 years.
Yeah, and then they sat frozen in time for like 9 or 10 years.
After that.
Before the revival.
It's so, I get it, but I don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
I think that TV was just different then. We've talked about this 1,000 times, that like they weren't thinking about the fact that someday two grown women were going to be dissecting this show alongside like thousands of other grown women dissecting the show.
Yeah.
X amount of years later where they could watch it on a loop back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
They weren't thinking about that. They were thinking like, oh, yeah, this storyline sounds right. What did we say about it before? Whatever. No one's going to remember. But we don't even remember.
They couldn't have predicted streaming.
No, they couldn't have. But kicking it back to this voicemail that we played, I do think it's very, very interesting and poses a very interesting question of how much weight did Christopher's relationship with Lorelai actually carry before Lorelai was carrying Rory in her belly?
Yeah. Before she was carrying a new weight.
Exactly. What do you think about that?
I really, like, I had never thought about that before, but I really do think that maybe it was something along the lines of, like, they grew up together, and then when they finally got together, I don't know how long they were, like, romantically involved before Rory came about, but, like, it's going to be much bigger than it ever was. Like, if you and your high school sweetheart had had a child, he would be a much bigger
part of my story. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
He was my first quote-unquote love. Like, he was my young love. But no offense, like, he was a sweet guy. I don't think about him often.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and maybe it's not like a perfect comparison because Christopher was like involved in their social circle. Mm-hmm. They knew Strobe and Francine. He was probably gonna go to Princeton. Mm-hmm, like, he was in that.
Yeah, circumstances were very different.
Yeah, a little bit different. But I do think it was circumstantial. Like, I don't think he would have been this like huge person that followed her through her life. Maybe they would have just been pals. But I think it gets its extra weight put on it because of Rory. Because they created a life together. Bonded for life. Bonded by life.
Yes, it's true.
Hold up.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In 2018, Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States. 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, an organization called El Otro Lado works to reunify these families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practices.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families. Once reunited, El Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and the counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. If you believe that all families belong together, consider supporting El Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at elotrolado.org/volunteer. That's elotrolado.org/volunteer. Well, on the topic of Lorelai and Christopher's history, the last two episodes, we really went back and forth on whether or not we felt like it was Lorelai's decision to raise Rory on her own or whether Christopher kind of abandoned them. And yeah, that was the reason why Lorelai chose to do things her way, quote unquote, or if it was, you know, probably somewhere in between. And we had someone call in who wanted to share her opinion on that. So let's hear from Jessica.
Hey, girlies. This is Jessica. Listen to the Christopher episode. And then one thing I thought was, the reason Lorelai wanted to raise Rory on her own was after seeing Christopher flip so fast and thinking doing whatever their parents wanted to, she may have thought he would, with raising Rory or the baby, he would side with the parents instead of doing what they should actually do. And that's why the ultimate do it on her own. That's just my thought. Hopefully makes sense. Bye.
That is so true.
Right? I didn't think of it that way. She's so
right.
Thank
you, Jessica.
Yeah, truly.
That's why I love hearing from y'all. Like, immediately, like, you'll give me, like,
episodes,
these thoughts. And, like, my brain will start, like, fireworking with so many ideas from this. Because that's so true. Like, if you had, like, this huge kind of issue with your parents in whatever regard, and especially the way that Lorelai does, and then you saw someone who is supposed to now be your equal, be your partner, like, in this process with you, immediately side with them when you don't agree with them, you're gonna freak out. Because it's like, how often are they going to do that as you raise your child together?
Truly. It's such a fascinating take, because I never thought of the fact that Lorelai felt alone, not in that Christopher, and we know Christopher was irresponsible, not just in that regard that he was going to be irresponsible and run off and do this. She felt like it was irresponsible for him to just immediately flip into and fold into what her parents wanted. And that was not the life that she wanted. But moreover, she knew that was not the life that he wanted. So she's like, what are you doing? You know, she says that to him in the flashback episode, like, what about Europe? And he's like, I can't do that anymore. And I recognize that he was trying to make the responsible decision.
Yeah.
However, I think that from Lorelai's lens, it was like, I will not live my life like this, where you are allowing them to dictate our decisions for us. I'm not going to allow that. And the fact that you are leads me to believe that, like, I now have to separate myself from you.
Yeah. Dang. And I wonder, because she didn't do it immediately, because there was a period of time in which she lived with the Gilmores before she left and just, like, abandoned them and ran away from home, so to speak. And I wonder how much Christopher played into that, because we never hear that.
We never hear about that. Ever.
It's always about her parents. And, like, it makes so much sense, because that's really the concept of the show, is, like,
of course,
her relationship with her parents. But, like, I think on Rory's end, it would be so interesting to hear that her mother couldn't stand the way that her father was being like drawn in by her grandparents. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be so interesting to like get the layer of that, that like Christopher also caused her to do that.
Yeah.
Because maybe he, maybe that's one of the reasons that we've talked about before, that the Gilmores love Christopher so much, is because in that time, maybe he was siding with them.
Yeah. And like, he was willing to follow the plan.
Yeah, and Lorelai ran off, and here they were left with Christopher without a child who wanted what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, he's the better one.
Yeah. I think this also ties in nicely to the What If episode that we'll have eventually about the two of them, because one of the questions that was posed that I think kind of weaves itself nicely into this caller's opinion is, what if Christopher had worked at Richard's office for his insurance company, and what if he had done that? And I think that that would have been a really interesting angle to present the audience with, that like Christopher still stayed in touch with them because he ended up, regardless of the fact that he and Lorelai were not going to get married, he ended up really following through with following this plan that they laid out for them. And yeah, he, that is why he's the golden child, because he followed through.
Yeah, I think that we talked about that actually in our pilot episode on Patreon, where we talked about the first episode.
Oh, really?
Like, I like so clearly remember us talking about like if Chris had been a lawyer, or if Chris had gone to work for Richard, and like he had that sort of background, because that's kind of what it made it seem like.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if that's what we talked about on Patreon in our pilot episode, like unaired pilot episode. Because I think that the intention was maybe for Christopher to be a lawyer. Wasn't that the case?
I don't know. I'm like drawing a blank on it, because I remember so clearly us talking about him being a lawyer. Because like, doesn't Richard say something along the lines of like, you're smart like your father?
Or... He does. He says like, you must get that from your father. But there, I want to say
which
that
is really more
original...
of an insult that she didn't get it from her mother.
Exactly. Correct. That's really what it is. No, but I think that there is an unaired pilot. There's a pilot script. Remember I found the
original pilot script? I think he was a lawyer in
And he was a lawyer. So he was like a successful businessman. And we were like, wow, what an interesting angle to present the audience with, that this man like really flourished in the world that he was raised in. And Lorelai decided to take a very different path. Whereas I think what confuses the audience and makes this topic a little divisive of like, did he run away? Did he abandon them? What was like, what happened within that period of time that we have a big giant question mark over? Not just the 16 years that it took, you know, for Rory to grow up to us meeting her in the pilot episode, but those one, maybe 2 years that she was living at the Gilmore residence. Where was he? What did he do? Where did he go? Was he involved? You know, we have no idea if that was the case. But what makes that so divisive is that he's off on his own in California doing fuck all. Like, we have no idea what this man is doing with his
life. I think he's in a startup that, like, doesn't go well because he can't buy the dictionary.
And that's why, like, you know, Lorelai is like, I knew it. Because she's always expecting him to kind of fail. And it sounds like that's his MO. So if you have someone like that, you instantly assume they're not reliable. They're not the kind of person that can show up. And I'm not saying that that means like someone who's successful and a lawyer and a businessman also can't show up. That's very clear as well. However, I think it would have created a different dynamic for the audience.
Yeah, it would have created a different dynamic, I think, that Emily and Richard had more of a backing to be like, look at your father. Your mom works. What is it that Richard says? How's the motel? I could have sworn that he said motel, because that's really insulting. What was I going to say to, there's something in the middle of that. Oh, is that something that someone brought up on a different Gilmore to consider was that conversation that they have in, what is the episode where Rory and Logan move in together? In season 6, what is that called?
Babe, you would know better than I would.
Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a complete blank. It is where Christopher comes. It's the middle of season 6, and she moved in with her boyfriend.
What else is happening?
Lorelai is at home.
Great.
I cannot remember what this episode is called. It's not important, but it's the one where Christopher comes in season 6.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, the episode name doesn't matter because I'm literally drawing a blank right now.
It's before I get a sidekick out of you.
It's like in the middle. Yeah. It's after like Perfect Dress and all of that, but before
Lane's Wedding.
Yeah, okay. Before like Real Paul Anka, before Bridesmaids Revisited. I think it's like the episode immediately before that one. It's not Vineyard Valentine. It's the one right before that one.
Great.
It's not Friday Night's All Right for Fighting. Oh my gosh. I literally can't even think of the words. Anyways, it's not important. I don't even remember what I was actually saying. Oh, someone called in and talked about how he went to all those schools, like Rivers, and he got kicked out of all of them. So I also wonder if during that time he wasn't even there. If he was just being shipped from boarding school to boarding school because he was, you know, acting out. And I don't think that that was necessarily a plot point or like character development in season one for him. But it definitely is by season six. So we can like retroactively apply that like during that time when she was at the Gilmores, I imagine that he was off at school because he probably got shipped off so that he didn't hang out with Lorelai anymore. She was a quote unquote bad influence because she had his baby. You know, nothing's a bad influence like not spending time around your child.
Well, sure. Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing is that I don't know that it would have necessarily made a difference. I think the reality was that Lorelai was always going to be a single mom in the narrative of the show. So the circumstances under which Christopher was not a part of that picture, I don't know that that would have gotten the audience on his side anyway. You know what I mean?
No, like, definitely.
Whether or not he was who he currently is and how he is presented to us in the pilot, or if he was a lawyer, or if he was, you know, working for the Gilmores, or, you know, anything. I think that at the end of the day, the reason that people are so disappointed in Christopher is that they don't feel like he tried hard enough to be a part of Rory's life, and that he really only shows up when it's A, convenient for him, and B, when it means that he can get closer to Lorelai.
And like, genuinely, beyond season seven, is there a time in the show where he is there for more than two consecutive episodes? I can't think of any. Like, he's in I Can't Get Started, but is he in the episode before that?
No, I think the only time that he would be, and you again would know this better than me, but now I don't know. Season six.
I don't think that he is in more than two consecutive episodes, though. Oh my God, it is killing me that I can't remember what that episode is called. It's episode 14.
Yes, it is episode 14. Wow, you're so smart.
Thank you.
I know what episode it is because I just looked it up and I was like, of course it's that episode because what else happens in that episode? I love that this has become a game. So what happens in that episode that Rory has to now move in with Logan?
The paper with Paris.
Paris kicks her out.
Paris is something?
No,
that Paris is burning in season one. Oh, man.
And then what else happens with Lorelai and Luke in that episode?
They go to Emily's. Oh, dinner.
June 3rd.
You've been Gilmored, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, I never would have gotten that. I couldn't. That was not what I was thinking of. Oh, man. I feel like I've let you all down with
my episode title. I loved playing a little game.
It was our little memory game that I failed.
You got there eventually.
In some of our early reviews of the show, people were talking about how, or like even just in DMs, were that they couldn't follow along with the episode titles, and I was like, what do you mean? Like, they're just play on Gilmore Girls titles. Like, I thought they were talking about the titles of our episodes, not that they were saying that we refer to the episode titles by name and that like we needed to give a little context as to what was going on because everyone doesn't know all the episode titles. Mm-hmm. But early on, I was very confused because I was like, you guys don't like the titles? I thought they were really creative. But I get it. Not everyone... Not everybody knows all the episode titles.
And
I am included in that.
Yeah, once we get to season six, I'm pretty much like, nope, I'm a goner. But
there's some of them that you know.
There are a lot of them that I know. But yeah. Like, if you told me about You've Been Gilmored, I would have immediately thought of Paris and the and Rory and the conflict there. Yeah. And Lorelai and Luke going to dinner with Emily.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has gotten very far away from Christopher Hayden.
He's in that episode,
but I don't think that there are a lot of episodes where he is, there for more than two consecutive until we get to season seven. So again, I don't really think, you know, there was a question that we had in the last episode, maybe the one prior, again, I'm not sure where these questions fell, where someone asked, you know, were we supposed to root for Christopher? And I don't know that we necessarily were under any circumstances. Yeah. You know, I think that we can explore this a little bit more when we do our what if episode, And we will.
Yeah.
But these were just some really great voicemails that kind of made me think. I was like, huh, I didn't think of that.
Exactly. And I do agree that, like, you can give Christopher whatever backstory you want, like, whatever job you want, like, whatever history with Lorelai that you want. But I think the fact of the matter is he just really did not show up for his daughter. And whatever reason why, I think that most of that responsibility falls on him. And if Lorelai kept her from him, he didn't fight hard enough to make sure that he was there.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily that she kept her from him. I think it was moreover that she clearly saw the writing on the wall. That was the case. Like, even if that was the extreme case, like, I'm keeping your daughter from you, a la Anna Nardini, April Nardini. You know, Luke fought like hell. He was like, well, now I know she exists. I can't just, like, walk away. I know she exists. I want to be a part of her life, you know? That's the kind of man we want. And with that, we're selling two Luke sweatshirts. GilmoreToSay.com.
And as it turns out, Mary was wearing hers when she called in.
Tara I was wearing mine when we recorded.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, I know that I talk that, like, I have a lot of interesting feelings towards Luke, but he just shows up so much better than Chris ever could.
Absolutely. Because, like,
he found out about his daughter one day and he was like, I want to see her all the time.
Yeah. I want to know her.
About his daughter from the very beginning. And he was like, I'll bring you a dictionary in my new Volvo.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, to be fair, you know, when Chris became a dad, he was a fetus. But, like, you know,
he
still had so many chances moving forward, you know, to grow up and show up.
I like that you gave him a little defense.
I'll always give someone a little bit of the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I'll always try to present
the advocate, if you will.
I'll always try to present the other side. I like to kind of look both sides and see how I feel. But I do agree.
I think that's fair.
That I think that he absolutely needs to show up more. And I stand by what I said in our last episode about how I feel like he only shows up for Rory, with the exception of sometimes in season 6 when he feels like it'll get him closer to Lorelai. And I just find that 100%. To be such a gross quality in a father.
Such a bad way to parent.
Pretty bad. But anyway, we are moving away from the Chris and Lorelai of it all. Nice three solid episodes. You know, we weren't going to do this, genuinely. We were like, do they want to go more to consider? But we wanted to hear what you had to say outside of just the questions that you had to pose, because obviously we love hearing from you guys and we wanted to hear your opinions. And I'm so glad that we got to. But our next episode, we are finally entering spring. Spring has sprung, baby. My sinuses are on fire. I know yours are too.
I know. I'm going to the ENT today for it.
Yes.
That's how much spring is getting to me.
I'm so excited. Here in New York, it has been so gorgeous. It's like 65 degrees right now. And as soon as we hang up, I'm going outside for my second walk of the day. I've been going out in the mornings. Like, I love you all. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that, like, I love going to Central Park and I sit on my bench and, like, I have a nice little grandma morning with my matcha or my coffee. I used to drink a lot of coffee, as you know, and it's just one of those things that brings me joy. And I hate that in the winter, and we had a pretty mild winter, to be fair, up here. Mm-hmm. We had a very mild winter. However, I just have no inclination to go outside. And it's, we've also dry. Had a very bleak, like, dull winter, in the sense that, like, it wasn't necessarily freezing, it wasn't necessarily snowing, but it was dark, it was cloudy. Mm. The sun went bye-bye, and now it has been out so much these last few days
back.
And I'm so happy, like, my serotonin levels have just
your
boosted.
Vitamin D is sailing through the roof.
Truly, I am so excited. And so, because spring has sprung, it is finally time to do our spring episode. You know, we're seasonal girlies on this show, and we are really excited to talk about how to have a Gilmore Girls spring.
You know, spring is actually one of my least favorite seasons of the four, but what we have planned for next week, I think that spring is one of my favorite seasons on Gilmore Girls.
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.